Morning. I saw that yawn. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Here we are. Kim's iPhone. We got one person joining us online, and then we'll kind of go from there. So, thank you all for joining on this Christmas morning. Isn't this a good looking group of people over here? I just gotta say.
Thank you.
My family. So here's what we've done up to this point. We've been really talking about what impact do you make because of Christianity, and we've talked a little bit about what is your accountability or your unique role in God's kingdom. And I've titled this Called to Bear Fruit, because we'll see that there are lots and lots of references to bearing fruit. In fact, the lesson objectives, just to remind you, is just to get you thinking a little bit about what fruit you bear, the urgency that you might have for that, who fruit is bared for, you know, those kinds of topics and ideas. And then this is the outline of the content. We started by talking about being known by our fruit, and then last week we talked about the call. This week we've got the task, albeit a bit unpleasant, to talk about the consequences of not answering the call. So we'll talk about that. But you can see the other elements we are going to be kind of working on. And then each time I kind of leave you with a series of questions designed to try to get you thinking a little bit about how this applies to you. These were from the first week in terms of what unique gifts has God given you, what's the purpose that God is preparing you for, what fruit have you been called to bear, who will benefit from your fruit. And then the second week, last week we talked about the call, and so the questions were, what fruit are you bearing? Is the fruit you are bearing designed to last? You might remember last time we talked about Jesus' own words, saying that, you know, we are called to bear fruit and fruit that lasts. And then how to make the most of every opportunity, because again, one of the scriptures we looked at last week was specifically referenced making the most of each opportunity to be able to bear fruit, and then to what good work are you devoted? You know, this is an interesting and tough topic. I mentioned before that, in my opinion, this is kind of a, not a 101 class, this is more of a 201 class, you know, a little bit more advanced in terms of getting people to think about what specific work and role they are accountable for. I have a personal belief that we've all been called to have a specific work that we are called to do, and it's beyond just having a Christian family, I believe. I think there are other things that we're called to do as well. So this week we're talking about consequences, and again, reminding you, the first was kind of we're recognized by our fruit. The second one was we're called to bear fruit. This one is, so what if we don't? That's what we'll talk about. But let's have a quick word of prayer, please. Father, thank you for a chance to come together to study, to think about bearing fruit. Thank you for the scriptures that explain to us our accountability and our responsibility in response to what you've done. Help us, Father, figure out what fruit is ours to bear in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned, this is kind of a little bit more challenging. You know, last time it was like, go bear fruit, go bear fruit. This week is a little bit different. And let me look at a couple of the scriptures here and get your feedback on this. So here, this first one is from Matthew 7. Starting in verse 15, it says, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that People might proclaim something, even Christianity, but it's really the fruit that by which we judge those folks. So those who stand and say, you know, I'm a Christian, but don't bear fruit. Interesting. And then he goes on in verse 17 and says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So this is kind of a sobering thought to kind of begin with. So I'm interested in your perspective on this. What do you think this means? I know it means every tree that doesn't produce fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire, but what's the point you think they're talking about here? Yeah. Good point. Yeah, really good point. Because a diseased tree bears diseased fruit. Yeah. Stephen.
Well, reading into your projects here, I'm thinking that you're pointing us to something that it makes me realize most of the time when we read this, we focus on the negative aspects. Oh, the false prophets, the false teachers. Bad fruit, and they're going to be cast into the fire. And we tend to ignore the other side, which I think is where you're pointing us to, which is, I'm glad, thank you, because you are making me see this, that it isn't just bad fruit, he's also talking about the good tree produces good fruit. And that's, I think you're right, that's a bit of a watchword for us to realize, oh, if we think we're not being on the bad side, just because we're not doing bad stuff, could we actually be there just because we're not producing good stuff?
Yeah.
You know, but that's an intriguing question we have to ask ourselves, which I'm sure that's what you're
doing. Yeah, I mean, that is part of where I'm headed. But I mean, you know, you think about the good versus evil here, kind of Steve's point, in terms of the bad fruit obviously are not bearing good fruit. The bad trees are not bearing good fruit, so they're going to be cut down. It's interesting to consider here, those good trees that are not bearing fruit are going to be cut down. It's interesting. The term apathy comes to mind. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but you don't care, right? but if you think about... I worry at times that the church has got to the point of saying, as long as we're not bearing bad fruit, we're in a pretty good spot. I don't know. We'll see some scriptures here that talk a little bit about those ideas. Steve, is that another hand?
I just realized this could be one of your. You're going to do a revelation, aren't you?
Steve, would you prefer to teach?
I stopped myself and said,
I'm not. I'm not.
We're looking at the churches and the letters to the churches, and it was Lee was at the last week was talking about this, that, you know. Most of them get a positive thing, but there's also negatives to most of them as well. You know, and there are watchwords there to say, you may think that you're okay, but you better look again because you're not doing things the way you should be doing them. And so even those that call themselves good trees, they've got a warning. You need to shape up and start doing things better than you're doing.
Yeah, it's interesting who judges whether we're a good tree or not. I think what we see is the vineyard dresser does, but we have a tendency to judge ourselves in this. Let's look at a couple other of these scriptures as well. But I do appreciate that Lee brought that up last week because, you know, he was talking about the seven letters, and in a couple letters, one in particular, it says, you know, you're bearing good things, but several of them, they've lost their first love, they forgot about this, they don't. You know, and so even people that were followers had kind of forgot about the fruit that they were providing. And this is kind of, you'll notice, by the way, that what I just read to you is Matthew 7, 5, 15 to 20. If we start on 21, Jesus goes on and says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your names? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's all right. Was that Jesus calling?
He's 5 hours ahead of us.
No, no worries, no worries. But it's nice that he's calling to say Merry Christmas to his mother.
I already talked to him.
Yes, yes. So when we look at this, isn't it interesting? I mean, he does follow that last scripture very directly with this one, which he's talking about, you know, hey, there are going to be times in the end when people are going to stand in front of me and say, look at all the marvelous things I did for you. And he's going to say, I didn't even know who you were. What do you think that means? What do you think, Sharon?
I think it's very sad because there are so many people in this world who feel that, you know, they are doing good works and they are taking care of things, but they're not following what the scriptures really say.
Mm.
And, you know, they feel that they're doing the right thing. And, I mean, I know that. And that's very hard when you know that they could follow the right things.
It's an interesting point. You know, I mean, Sharon, I think, makes the point that, you know, there are those who are doing a lot of good things but may not understand what the will of the Father is. I'm going to flip that upside down and say I think there's a lot of people that think they know the will of the Father are not doing good things. And I mean, I got to admit, if you look at how Christianity has got some really interesting and bad press these days, meaning that unfortunately, for a lot of people, when you say Christian, that's a bad thing. And I think it's because they're not bearing the fruit that God asked them to bear, these people. And so it's got a little confused in terms of what the world thinks Christianity really is. Michael?
Well, I knew someone, it was someone I respected a lot. He said that this verse above any he's ever read in the Bible scares me the most. Because it's like there's a lot of cautionary scriptures in the Bible, but this one is like one of the most where it's someone who thinks that they're doing the right thing, but they're not. And if you have to be very, very careful with what you're doing and how you're doing it. How do you know you're doing the will of the Father? Are you just obsessed with something because, you know, for the wrong reasons? And for him, it's very unnerving to think about that he could think he's doing the right thing and then Jesus could say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Before I get to Steve, just think real quick for a second about the people he's speaking to here for a moment. You know, and these are the people that a lot of the people in this group think they're doing pretty well. And those continually are the ones. I'm struck. I've taught a class on this before. But I'm struck that the only time Jesus really gets upset, he doesn't get upset with prostitutes. He doesn't get upset with people that are caught in this kind of sin or that kind of sin. He gets upset with the religious people. Because they think they're something special. And they're not. Steve?
I was just going to give you an example. Many years ago now, when I was teaching the Galatians class, I was doing research and I came across something it really struck me that there was a man, a very prominent, well-known preacher in the Chicago area, who had a big church and big following and all this stuff, and people around the country were listening to him, reading his writings, and so forth. And he was preaching that there was no hell, that everybody's going to heaven because God isn't a bad God. He wouldn't do that to people. And it's like, it really struck me that what we just read here is by saying that, he's saying Jesus is alive. You know, and, but that's the thing to measure somebody, you know, it's hard when you say, well, what's his fruit? Well, he's bringing people to Jesus, so to speak. You know, he's spreading the word that Jesus is the Savior and all this stuff. But yet, he has this bad thing that he's doing. That's a bad fruit in a sense, but it doesn't look like a bad fruit. How can you tell that this is a bad fruit? Oh, look at all the people who's bringing to Jesus. They're glorifying Jesus, praising Jesus. And yet, he is perpetuating a lie and disturbance of the truth. And obviously, because that was many years ago, it really resonated with me, especially in my head, that this guy was preaching that, along with preaching Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the beginning of this scripture where it talks about false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. I really think that a lot of times we want to take this scripture and say, oh, those people that don't understand the Bible like we understand the Bible are really in trouble. I think Jesus continually says, those who don't understand God the way that God needs to be understood are in trouble. Which is very different than my version of this or that or something else. So it's an interesting challenge. But this message, I should go back here real quick. The I never knew you is kind of a pruning again of that tree that we're talking about. Look at another one here. This is in, my goodness. Thank you. Finally got it. Just wash my hands. Can't do a thing with them. Matthew 7, 22 to 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I mean, we all know this story. It's a popular story. We do little vacation Bible school things. Libby's doing her little she's really to build over there. But it's an interesting concept again, right? Here we see two groups of people, all that hear the words, some that put them into practice and others that don't, and talks about the consequences of each one of those. Thoughts, comments, emotional outbursts? Donna?
Well, all this being said, what is the point of Christ dying? He did save us from sin once and for all. So, to read these passages and let them mean anything more than being on guard and being aware, because, didn't he say that we all sinned and fall short of the glory of God?
Sure. Yeah, and I think this is a hard issue, is what we're talking about here. I think there are a lot of people who will say things, do things, proclaim things, and their heart and actions don't follow. But I want to go back to Donna's point after yours. But I want to go back to Donna's point of, does that mean none of this matters? I mean, he says that he's going to cut off some of the fruit. I mean, some of the trees.
I would add to it.
Thank you.
Is honestly very bad, like, because you can't live up to these things, like, because it's like taking the law and saying, like, you're not even doing the law correctly. Because it's like, even if you follow everything in the law and your heart is not where it's supposed to be, it's meaningless. It's like, you know, kind of just explaining why what they're doing is never going to get them to where they need to be. And so I think, like, this is, like, the standard that we must, like,
live up to. Like, it's not like anything below this is where, like, we should settle. But the good news is that, like, through the Holy Spirit and salvation through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can, like that will, that should change our hearts. So, like, we are not necessarily perfect and always, like, have the right motive and things like that, but, like, we should always be checking our motives and, like, trying to grow and wanting, like, a relationship with God above, you know, trying to check boxes and things like that. So I think that even though, like, if you look at it as, like, this is being spoken to people who are already Christians, these are people who, you know, are still kind of in need of that. It's still need that salvation. And it's like the whole picture hasn't been removed yet. It's like, that's not what's going to happen. It's more like the perspective of, we might fall short sometimes, but it's not like
So does that mean that that guy was right then? That what Steve was talking about was right? That it doesn't matter what we do?
That's not really what
See, that's the challenge here, isn't it? That's why we started this scripture by even looking at James, which says, you know, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my actions. I love the way Earl says it. I look back here because that's normally where Earl says it. You know, we tend to think of Jesus as the end of our salvation activity. Earl describes it as the beginning of your salvation activity, which I really like, because what he's saying is, it's not that you're fruitful to earn Jesus. That doesn't make sense, and Jesus has said that. You can't earn this. But because of what he did, here's the response to what he did, is that we should be fruitful. That's the challenge and the hard part of this. That's why, again, this isn't a 101 class where we're trying to teach somebody the salvation steps. We're teaching somebody what is God expecting of his vineyard. We're going to look in a minute at a scripture from Isaiah where he's talking about everything I've done for this vineyard, and he's really specifically talking about the Jews, and they didn't produce. And so here's what I'm doing, and you will see what he does there in a second. But you had a couple other comments, Keith.
The beginning of this wolves and sheep's clothing, it likens in my mind, in the society in which we live, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you break the law, you're still guilty. This is different. Ignorance of the law is an excuse. You don't know any better. But if you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know what you're doing. Mm. You've now subverted it, and you know in your heart what you're doing. Yeah, you're cruising bad fruit. Chainsaw's coming for you. You know it.
Mm. Thank you. Chainsaw's coming for you. There we go. Speaking of a chainsaw, let's read Luke 13, 6 to 9. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered, "Sir, let it alone. This year also I'll dig around it, I'll put on manure. And if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. If not, then you can cut it down." Interesting.
You have to tend to it. You have to permit, you have to fertilize it, and there's a lot going on in between. Like, you have to get things to bear fruit. If we're talking about the physical, you know, plants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for Jesus, certain things were not easy. He cried in the garden. I mean, all the things are not easy. And one of the classes, a class that Mike taught me, or I don't know, one thing I class mean, if you really think that you have found what you're good at that will glorify God, it takes work. You can't, whatever it may be, you can't just sit back and let the good works flow. It takes a lot of time and effort and whatever that gift might be.
Yeah, yeah, it is a decision. Absolutely. And it does take time. It takes work. Sharon?
I was going to say, one of the good things about this is that God is patient with us and gives us the chance to grow. Because you dig around it, put on the earth, take care of it. He's waiting and patiently. But we have to also realize that there could be a limit. You know, we have to do our part. So it's a kind of good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a good and bad, because, I mean, the good is, hey, it's not getting cut down this year. We're going to give it another year, another chance. But he still recognizes without fruit, it is not pleasing to the vine dresser. Look at the next one. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." There's an interesting thing we're going to come back to. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. "And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." You know, what occurs to me is that one of the reasons why we have the Old Testament is to teach us the lessons of the Jewish people, right? Of the Israelites, and the challenges they went through, the things they tried or didn't try. And if we're honest, every one of them is who we are too. We just like to say that they were didn't understand, and they were different, and they were, but I worry, because I think the same things that were said to the Jewish people could be said to Christians today. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? You know, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And back to Donna's point earlier, I think fruit to repentance is really an important concept here. I mean, when we recognize who we are, what we are, and where we stand, then we have the opportunity to be repentant and to bear fruit because of that. I don't know, maybe no one else thinks this way, but I look at the Old Testament and I realize the number of times, we're going to see another example of it here in just a second, the number of times you can see the nurturing that God has taken for his vineyard. And you can see how the vineyard continually doesn't produce fruit. And it worries me. How about this one? This is the one I was just talking about. This is from Isaiah chapter 5. "Let me sing a song for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with various vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. He hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but he yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more is there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I look for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to the vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be devoured. I will break down the wall, and it will be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns will grow up, and I will command the clouds so that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasing planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry." You ever read that scripture before? I don't remember reading it recently. And it's right before Isaiah stands, you know, in his vision at, in front of the throne of God in Isaiah 6. But what do you think of this? What do you make of this? Is there any message in here for Christians? Or was this only for the Old Testament Jews saying, guys, you really aren't getting it, so I've got to send another way to solve this problem, which he did in Jesus. What are you thinking, Abigail? Yeah, and you just really kind of summarized the reason why I wanted to teach this class. Seriously, I mean, because the concept of our salvation being the end of it, this is all for my salvation, I think God would say, yeah, but it's for what you do with that. It's not that. And I think most of Christendom kind of has the focus of that's the end. It's about my salvation. Steve?
You're right. Number one.
Somebody write that down.
Yes. Do you need to get the call the doctors for me?
No, I'll be all right, Steve. I think. Do we need to call the doctors for you? That's the Mike Rogan thing.
But to answer your question, going back, mm-hmm. So we are in the same category as Jews. So does it apply today just as well? Yes. Because we are now the spiritual Israel. The church, we are God's spiritual Israel. And he still expects the same thing from us that he expected from Israelites, that we bear good fruit.
Thank you, Steve. I'm particularly struck by the end of this where we talk about, you know, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasing planting. And he looked for justice, but he beheld bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but he beheld an outcry. Again, I worry that when he looks down at Christians and he's looking for people that are focused on justice, well, are we focused on justice for his sake, or are we focused on my rights, my goal, my outcome? I have the right to say it this way. I have the right to stand this way. You know what I mean? I mean, it's an interesting, I think, challenge. Abigail?
Of anything, no, you know, bad things are going to come. And so God would send real prophets who would say, actually, not really. Like, not actually at all. And it's completely messed up. Like, please, like, you know, God is saying these things, like, change your hearts. And, yeah, so I think that it kind of, like, the one person who was saying that there is no help, that's not helpful because, like, that's not true and it's not going to help anyone.
It might feel better, you know. I mean, it might feel better, and I think, yeah, it's weird. And again, you know, hopefully you guys will understand what I mean here. But you know, sometimes I think the world looks at Christians as being in one camp of being extremely judgmental, or they look at Christians as being so forgiving that nothing is wrong. You know, I mean, and it's like, well. What are we supposed to be? Well, what we're supposed to be is bearing fruit. We're supposed to be, you know, demonstrating God's fruit. But what gets in our way? Let's look at this one. You'll recognize this as well. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds that fell among the path, and the birds came up and devoured it. The other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and they had no root and withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. So again, this is Jesus talking about this, you know, that when the seed is sown, it falls in different people's hearts different ways. And again, I think it's so easy for us to take this automatically to, well, this is the people that have never heard anything about Jesus. And I think it applies. But I also think that when Mike speaks to us about something, it may also apply to the people in this room, that some of those things might fall on good soil, some might fall on rocky soil. And then just so that we close this one out, then I'll get to Steve, is Jesus actually then explains this by saying here, then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. As for that which is sown on rocky ground, this is when one hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately falls away. And for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown with good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. Steve.
Well, I'm actually came back to this, I think it was last week that we brought this up. Pointed this to the scripture then, and I had something occurred to me, and we ran out of time. So it struck me that my vision of this, my whole life, when I take this and picture it in my head, the parable of the sower, I see four fields. Here's a good field, here's this field, that field, and everything happens in separate fields. And it occurred to me that may be a wrong way to look at this. This is one piece of ground with patches of things around it, and there's some good soil in it, you know, some. I'm thinking that that might help us with what you're getting at here is that, oh, we're all good soil and we're in this plot of land where it's all good, right? Not necessarily. We're all in one field, and it's a matter of, you know, are we good soil? Well, okay, maybe, but can we allow the thistles to grow from right next door to me over into where I'm at? And choke me up. Again, you know, it changes us, I think, in that we think of groups of people, but rather we're one group of people, and this is what's inside this whole group. Different soils in this one piece of land.
Mm.
And that gives us a little different perspective on it.
Can honestly say I never thought of it as four different fields. So yeah, I get your point though. Yeah, it's yeah. Thank you.
I would even say that instead of it applying to a group, it's one person.
Yes.
Like you have all those fields inside you. And I'm glad you said that. I had never, you know, my whole life thought, I had always thought this was a one-time throwing of the seeds. You know what I mean? I kind of had been taught the story as accepting Christ. Like that's what the seeds were. Not like all the ideas that we gain through the Bible every time we get together or we read the word, that it's an ongoing situation, not a one-time throwing.
Mm.
But it's like every time somebody says something that you had not heard before, are you going to, you have all those fields inside you. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to get excited but then don't do anything with it? I mean, that happens inside each person. I kind of always thought, you know, oh, it was separate fields. Then I was like, oh, well, no, it was a one-time throwing. And now it's like, wait a minute, this is like an ongoing throwing of different ideas all the time, and I'm all those fields. All the time. Sorry, I had to represent.
Yeah. You took my joke. I was waiting for you to finish so I could say, spoken from the fields. Yes. Yeah, thank you. That was excellent. Thank you. Someone else had a hand over here? Yeah, Keith.
Balancing off of that very idea. All those fields are in each one of us. It's my opinion. And in my own field, I've got to do some weeding every now and then.
Yeah, I call it tending the soil. And thank you for that. Because as we conclude, I just... Hopefully, as we go through this, this challenges you to think, and some application questions, you know, that I took from these scriptures. One of them is, will the vine dresser find good fruit on your vine? I mean, I think that's an appropriate question. Again, I go back to the way that Earl describes this. I'm not saying I have to produce this vine I'm going to have to produce this fruit for my salvation. I am saying that because of my salvation, I should be producing this fruit. What does God demand fruit from your life? Why does God demand fruit from your life? Did you ever think about that? Someone said this a couple weeks ago. It struck me when we were talking that when someone said, why do they desire this fruit? Well, fruit produces more fruit, which produces more fruit, which produces more fruit. You know, I mean, that's what a fruit does. Might be one reason why God does this for us is so that we continue that. What type of soil are you most apt to be? You know, Jill said very well, we're all of them. But I get a feeling some of us may lend ourselves a little more toward maybe the thorny soil, or may lend ourselves in, you know, one direction. So think about that a little bit. And what are you doing to prepare your heart, or to use Keith's term, your soil to bear fruit? Next week, specifically, actually, we're going to talk about what are the conditions for bearing good fruit, because Jesus says very clearly, here's the only way you're going to bear good fruit. So we'll talk about that. Michael?
One quick question, Jim. You know, almost everything, all the scriptures we looked at, the consequences were the final consequences.
Hmm.
And I wonder if, you know, in the tending of the soil, we need to be thinking day to day. You know, there's consequences if I'm, you know, bearing the wrong fruit or just not bearing good fruit. And that's, you know, sometimes seems to be my focus as well, as some people have said.
Good point. Really good point. Anything else? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Thank you, God, for a chance to think about bearing fruit for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.